It is Jared and Katie's breaking and entering Christmas. We are live at their family's house. We've had a lot of surprises here. A beautiful family of seven. The family was nominated, the Correll family. And we're going to talk to Caitlin and Logan, the parents. They have five kids. Landon, who's 11. Mason, who's 6. Hudson and Sawyer, who are twins. And then Madison, who is 2 years old. And Madison is currently under hospice care. And one of the twin boys with some heart issues and has been brave with a lot of different heart surgeries. So, first of all, let's talk to Logan. Logan, tell us about your kids.
They are very special, and they've been through a lot. Just the past 5 years has really been, I guess, hurricane is probably, unfortunately, the best way to describe it. But you know, they handle everything in stride, and we do everything we can to keep the train on the tracks and let them be kids as much as they possibly can, and in dealing with all the situations that we deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. And Logan, you wrote one of the most beautiful breaking and entering letters we've ever read, and it was beautiful for a lot of reasons. It was one, talking about your love for your family and how you would do anything for them. You are doing everything you can for them. But the reason that it stuck out for me, and I think I speak for everyone, yeah, is your love and admiration for your wife.
Yeah, I mean, she's a trooper. It's incredible. I think I might have heard something mentioned earlier, you know, just she's a nurse that's just not getting paid to be a nurse.
right.
You know, yeah, she can probably rattle off 1,000 pages of medical history like it's nothing, and know how to handle so many situations. And you know, like most families, we kind of have our roles, but you know, I go to work. I've missed some work this year with health stuff, but you know, I go to work and I come home and I'm at home, but you know, her job never stops. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the middle of the night when you're sleeping, when something beeps, something moves, something, you know, anything happens, she's on the clock. So
yeah,
it's a never-ending battle, and I can't put into words, you know, how dedicated she is, and she never wavers, you know, and you know, it is her job, and unfortunately, it's 24/7, mm-hmm, and it never stops, but she just keeps going.
Mm-hmm. Now, Caitlin, first of all, thank you again for allowing us to come into your home this morning. But what does a morning like this mean for you and your family, do you think?
It really means everything, just to have a moment. You know, when you get diagnosed with a congenital heart disease, your world turns completely upside down. And then when you have an extremely premature baby, your world is completely upside down, and it's so lonely, and you know, you deal with it every day as it comes. And, you know, there comes a point, you know, over the last 5 years that I truly have felt so alone in it, because, you know, friends can't relate. Mm-hmm. You know, people that can relate are facing their own struggles, and they often become our family. So, you know, I think that the last several years has truly been the most heartbreaking and lonely feeling. And, you know, I tell Logan all the time, it truly just feels like we catch up and then something else happens. Yeah. So to have, you know, a moment for the community to just think about our kids and just come together and just to have the smiles on their faces, and just, it truly means, you know, the world to us, just to have the people praying and thinking about them, much less you guys coming in and doing something as amazing as this. So
when we've been talking to everyone here this morning, you know, you have the support of the community like we have never seen. We've been doing Breaking and Entering Christmas for a very long time, and the way that your community has shown up for you to be here, to support you, to love you, is truly a beautiful thing. And so I know that you talk a lot, you're saying that you're feeling alone, but I don't want you to ever feel like you are, because every single person in here has talked about how lovely you all are and how selfless you are, and how you don't do anything for yourselves ever. And so it was an honor
Absolutely.
For us to be able to break into your home and to deliver a little bit of Christmas cheer for you guys.
Yeah,
you guys.
I think, you know, over the last several years, it's been extremely lonely, but this experience has, I think, saved us in a lot of ways because it's restored faith and hope. And, you know, it's... I tend to just do things myself, and I just, you know, I do what any parent would do.
We're moms and dads, but we're moms.
What any parent
would
do.
Right.
But, you know, hospice said, you know, a month or so ago, to make Maddie's world bigger and better, I have to let people in. And, you know, I made one comment to a friend, and Landon's birthday was at the end of last month, and we had just got out of the PICU. And we had just been life-lighted back again. And I'm like, his birthday's in 2 days. I haven't bought anything. I haven't planned anything. The kids never had a birthday party.
Yeah.
And in a couple of hours, they had put a birthday party together. And they're like, don't worry if you can't be here. We've got you. We love you. We will make sure he has a party. It just things like that. You know, it's just really the simple things. People get so caught up in, you know, the big things in life,
sure.
But the big things in life truly are the small things.
Right.
I
think it's very well said.
Yeah.
Now, Caitlin, can you describe to us what Madison's facing, what she has faced? She's under hospice care. And, well, one... one thing I thought was sweet is when the kids came in and started opening the gifts. Logan, your oldest.
Landon.
Oh, sorry, Landon. Okay. Logan's dad. Landon, mm-hmm. your oldest, brought Madison a gift first, which I thought was just really, really sweet. It just shows that they're, like, mature beyond their years, and maybe they've been forced to be, but obviously it's developing good characteristics in them. I just thought that was really remarkable when you have a lot of gifts that are for you.
Mm-hmm.
For Landon,
right.
You know, for Landon, he went and handed Madison, who's two, the gift, but maybe you can... share with our listeners, and your world has gotten a lot bigger. There's hundreds of thousands of people that are listening and cheering you guys
certainly
on.
Has.
But if you don't mind,
don't be nervous though. don't let that be nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, said that part. But tell us about what she's facing, and how does it make you feel as her parents?
So first of all, I just want to say, like, our kids are so amazing to one another, and you know, Landon is an incredible son, and you know, he cares so deeply about Madison, so you know, I'm just so thankful that, you know, they may face things as kids that they should never have to go through, but they're going to make the most loving and compassionate adults. And you know, I truly think we need more of that in the world. But as far as what Madison is facing, so you know, she was born at 26 weeks, and you know, I thought the hardest part would be getting through the first 24 hours.
Yeah.
I thought if we could get her through 24 hours, then we would be okay. And then get her through the first week, and we'd be a little bit better. And, you know, every time we would walk in the NICU, they're like, she's not out of the woods yet. Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah.
And then we walked in one day, and they're like, okay, I think we're safe to say, like, something... terrible would have to happen now to lose her. Like, I think we're in a spot where she's stable. And I felt like the world had just lifted off my shoulders. You know, and then I thought the next biggest challenge was just getting her out of the NICU 4 months later. But we came home on oxygen, which isn't, you know, surprising for a premature baby. But she couldn't ever wean off the oxygen. We would need such crazy levels of oxygen. So she never followed what they anticipated she was going to do. So she constantly went into respiratory failure. We've been life-lighted about 10 times.
Oh my gosh.
You know, she had got to a point where she was doing very delayed, but she was still reaching milestones.
Mm-hmm.
Up until earlier this summer, and then everything changed.
And then we asked earlier, I think, to your mom, the prognosis going forward. Do you know what to expect? Or I know it's hard to know, but what are they saying, or what are they sharing with you?
So right now, what we do know, it's just an extremely rare neuromuscular junction problem, and there's only 50, 51 cases in the entire world. So when you look at, you know, the children or the people that have this diagnosis, then you have to narrow it down to how does that apply to a 26-weeker? How does that apply to the other things that she has going on? So they don't know. You know, some days I think we could, you know, she has a good day and they're just like, well, you know, like, you know, they're a little hopeful. And then the next day they're just kind of like, you know, I think this just isn't going to get better. And that's just kind of where the conversation's been since earlier this summer.
It seemed right when you all got home and we were welcoming you into your own home, that Madison, when you walked up the stairs with her, immediately reached for the microphone and took it. You know, and I thought, oh, she's a little gabber, you know, wanted to take it. And so it seems like today is a good day. Today is a day where she is interacting, and I saw a smile.
She's had a good day so far. So we take, you know, every good day to heart, because you don't know how many you're going to get. So, you know, it's just the most heartbreaking thing. And, you know, she's on hospice care now and she's on a lot of medications and, you know, just trying to keep her comfortable and keep her home and to have as many good days as we can have.